Welcome to the Akigawa Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. We hope this resource will help you in your walk with Jesus as you grow more and more into His image. For more information about Akigawa Baptist Church, please visit akigawabc.com. Now, enjoy the sermon.
Today, we're going to be looking at the third and final aspect of the blind man we called, what was his name? Do you remember what we called his name last week? Jimmy Bartimaeus. Jimmy Bartimaeus Johnson. Yeah. Today we're going to look at Second Sight, John chapter 9. We're going to look at the verse 25 to the end of the chapter. Hey, can I ask you guys a question? What kind of things do you like to look at? Like for me, I love looking at nature. I love looking at the mountains and looking at the forests. And when it's spring, I love looking at the flowers. And when it's summertime, I like looking at the ocean. And when it's fall, I like the fall leaves, the autumn leaves, the beauty of the fall, the autumn leaves. And then when it's wintertime, I love looking at the snow. I love all the different aspects of God's creation. I love looking at that stuff. Do you guys have things like that you enjoy looking at, seeing things? And it's amazing, isn't it? One of the things that's really interesting is that sight, of course, sight is an amazing gift, but did you know that our sight is actually very limited? There is only a very small amount that we are actually able to see. Let me show you a quick picture real quick. This is really interesting. As I was studying for my sermon, it blew my mind how little we can actually see. Did you know that all around us are electromagnetic waves? And these waves have all different kinds of lengths. Some, like broadcast band or radio, go up to a meter or even a kilometer. Like the length of the wave is like a kilometer long. And then some, if you go all the way to the scale, are so tiny. They're like portions of a nanometer. Tiny, like atomic. The part that you and I can see is this little strip right here, like between 400 to 700 nanometers. Like you have like kilometers, squish that down. Like a radio wave is about a meter long. A radar wave is about a millimeter. Microwave is like just a hair and a nanometer. Do you know how big a nanometer is? Like one paper's width is about 100,000 nanometers. And within that, we only see about 300 from 400 to 700 nanometers of that electromagnetic wavelength. What we see is actually really, really a little bit tiny. We see a very small speck of the electromagnetic waves. What we see is amazing, but we're only seeing a little bit of what there is to see. This is an interesting aspect. We see this, and what was interesting is the blind man that we met these last couple of weeks, even this was invisible to him. But one day Jesus came and gave him physical sight. He opened up this aspect of light for him so that he could see what we can see. The gift of sight is an amazing thing. But we're going to see today that it isn't just physical sight that Jesus gave this man. There's a whole nother spectrum of sight that Jesus gives to this man. The aspect of spiritual sight. And this is what I call second sight. And this is what we're going to look at today. The last time we saw Jimmy, do you remember where he was at? He was in the temple being questioned by the religious leaders of the temple. They're questioning him because they're having a hard time figuring out all of the things that this man experienced. How can you say you see? And they're trying to figure out this miracle, but the biggest problem they're having with the miracle that this man experienced, that Jimmy experienced, was who did it? Jesus. they had a hard time accepting Jesus. And because of that, they had a hard time accepting the miracle that this man experienced, the being able to see. And so they're doing everything they can to figure out. They had rejected Jesus, so they're trying to figure out how can they dismiss this miracle. Ah, this wasn't really a miracle. So they start, after Jimmy explains what happens, they start bringing in all kinds of people to see if they can figure out how to poke a hole in what he had experienced. Oh, let's bring his parents in. Maybe his parents can actually show us and reveal that he actually wasn't blind from birth. So they bring his parents in, and that didn't go too well for them because his parents are like, yeah, he was blind from birth. I don't know how he can see now, but he was definitely blind from birth. They verified that what the man had said was true. But they still wouldn't accept it. Man, there's no way what this guy is saying about Jesus is true. There has to be something. I know, maybe it's a trick. Maybe it's some kind of a secret trick. So they said, they bring him back and say, hey, we need to ask you some more questions. We know. And remember what he said? Fess up. Give God the praise. Fess up. Give God the glory. We know this man is a sinner. We need to know what the trick is. What's the secret trick behind it? What are you hiding? Do you remember how he responded? Look in verse 25. He answered and said, whether Jesus be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Whereas I was blind, now I see. Jimmy says, man, I couldn't see before and I can see now. That's good enough for me. But they still wouldn't believe him. They still had a hard time believing him. There was no way that they were going to admit that Jesus was from God. And here's one of the reasons. Everyone knew that Jesus had called out those Pharisees as being hypocrites. Right? And if they admit that Jesus is from God, that means that what Jesus said about them is true too. That means that they would have to humble themselves and repent. And there's no way they were willing to do that. There has to be something. There has to be a reason, something to make sense of this miracle. They have to find the trick. So they question him again. Verse 26. Then said the Pharisees to Jimmy again, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? Tell us again, what happened? Go back from the beginning. Tell us exactly what happened. Don't leave anything out. And honestly, at this point, Jimmy's probably had quite a bit of it. I mean, this is just the first or second day that he's been able to see. And now he has to spend his first day, instead of going and checking out everything, he's got to stand in front of all these guys and keep telling him over and over. This is a great way to spend your first or second day of being able to see, huh? It's how you would enjoy spending it, wouldn't it? Not at all. Jimmy's getting tired of it. And so he kind of responds. He's like, guys, listen, you're so focused on trying to figure out a reason the miracle didn't happen that you literally can't see what's going on right in front of your eyes. The vision of the Pharisees had become too narrow. In verse 27, this is what he says. He answered them, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will you also be his disciples? Jimmy used to be blind, but he sure is a smart guy. He's got a witty guy. He's a pretty smart guy. Now he's having fun with him. Look, if I'm going to be stuck in here, I'm going to be enjoying my time here. I already told you everything. I already told you everything there is to know. Weren't you paying attention? Why would you want to hear what happened again? Oh, I know. You want to be his disciples, don't you? They didn't like that, did they? Verse 28. Then they reviled him. And said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciple. They kind of like ruffled their feathers a little bit, didn't it? Nuh-uh. We're not his disciples. You're his disciples. We know, and here's what they're saying. We know Moses came from God. That's why we follow him, and that's why we obey him. But we don't know whether this Jesus character is really from God. We're not sure where he's from. Do you remember last week we were talking about this a little bit, where one of the problems they had was they were saying, we know this guy's a sinner, but how does he do this miracle? How can a sinner do this miracle, this amazing miracle? And they were trying to, they wouldn't let go of the fact that they thought Jesus was a sinner and not the Son of God. They wouldn't let that go. And so they were trying to figure out, how can this sinner perform this miracle? And there was a conflict there. They're still not ready to accept that Jesus is the Son of God. They just couldn't figure out how this sinner could do such a miracle. They couldn't see. They were spiritually blind and they didn't even know it. And this was astonishing to the man. How can you be so blind to see what has happened and not be able to see what is clearly in front of you? And so, and this is what he says from verse 30 to 33. He says, I skipped verse 29, didn't I? Let's look at verse 29. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. This is what we're saying. We don't know where this guy is from. And clearly he was shocked at their answer. The man answered and said unto them, why, herein is a marvelous thing that ye know not from whence he is. And yet he hath opened my eyes. I can see. And you still don't know where he's from? 31. Now we know that God heareth not sinners. But if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Verse 32. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man, opened the eyes of one that was born blind? No, this has never happened before, where a guy was born blind and somebody opens his eyes. Verse 33, if this man were not of God, he could do nothing. There's no way. How can you not see this? I mean, it's like written right in front of your face. How are you able to miss? You have to be amazing to be able to miss this. You guys have performed a miracle in yourself in being able to see blind, being blind to this miracle that has happened. He was amazed at their blindness. How can you not see who Jesus is? All throughout history, no one has ever been able to heal a man, to give sight to a man who was born blind. Born blind. And here is this man who was born blind. Even now, it is almost impossible to give something. Now, we're not talking about cataracts, but we're talking about somebody who actually cannot see, to give them sight again. Born blind to give sight. It's a very almost impossible thing to do. And this is like 2,000 years ago. How could he do these miracles if he weren't of God? His sight. This man's sight, spiritual sight, is getting clearer and clearer and clearer. He's a man who was born blind, who had just begun to see a day or two ago, and now he is able to see clearly what they cannot see at all. And so he's telling them, listen, you should be able to see this. This shouldn't be that hard to understand. Verse 34, they did not like what he said. They answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. It's like, what are you doing? You can't be talking to us like that. We're the teachers here. You can't be teaching us. They were mad. This was the final straw. They had had enough of them. How dare you teach us? And this is really interesting. They said that was altogether born in sins. Do you remember when the disciples met this guy and they asked him, hey, who sinned, Jesus? Did this guy sin or did his mom and dad sin? The Pharisees saw this man the same way that the disciples had started out seeing this man, didn't he, Jimmy? They were like, you're born in sins. That's why you were blind. But wait a second. What? If you think about what they're saying, they're basically agreeing with the blind man. They say, you were altogether born in sins. So they're admitting, they're basically saying what this man had been saying the whole time. Born in sins means he was born with blindness. So they're actually unknowingly verifying what the man's saying. And yet they're too blind to notice that their words are confirming the blind man's testimony. And so they kick him out. They kick him out of the synagogue. Not just physically out of the synagogue, but they're kicking him out socially out of the synagogue. Now, he is one of those they call publicans and sinners. You remember, you know how the Bible talks about, oh, these publicans and sinners. Now, this guy was one of the publicans and sinners. It was the very thing that his mom and dad was afraid of that would happen to them has happened to Jimmy, the blind guy. Actually, this is really good for us to remember. Because sometimes when we follow Jesus, when Jesus opens our eyes to the truth about who we are and who Jesus is, there are times when we have to humble ourselves and be willing to put our trust in Jesus, repent of our sin, put our trust in Jesus, and not in ourselves. Not everyone wants to do that, though. Not everyone is willing to see Jesus the way Jesus reveals himself to us. And so as Jesus continues to open your eyes to the reality of who he is, the reality of who you are and your need for him, and that he is fully enough to sustain you, to redeem you, to forgive you, to give you life, there will be those around you who don't see the way you see. There will be people who can't see what you see, and their response may be a little bit like these religious rulers. Because they do not have the spiritual sight that Jesus gave you, instead of searching for Jesus, they may choose to separate from you because you are now with Jesus. Don't assume that following Jesus is easy. Sometimes people will separate themselves from you because you follow Jesus. Sometimes it's hard, but that's okay. It's okay for it to be hard. It's okay for it to be lonely sometimes because friends that used to hang out with you suddenly don't hang out with you anymore because you follow Jesus. That's okay. They haven't been given the sight that Jesus has given you. Following Jesus is always going to be worth it. Do you remember people who had struggled a lot because they chose to follow Jesus? Like people like Paul, used to be Saul, a hater of Christians. Jesus gave him sight in all kinds of ways. A little bit like this guy. Remember? Couldn't see after he met Jesus, and then for a while his eyes were blind, and then a guy came and prayed for him, then he could see again, and it was crazy, and then he started following Jesus, and all of a sudden the persecutor becomes the persecuted. And Paul went through a lot of difficulty, went through a lot of stuff. But you know what Paul said? Let me show you. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. For I reckon, he was Southern, that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. This present time will have suffering. It's not going to go easy. There will be times when it's really hard, but the sufferings of this present time aren't even worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us. Jesus is not done revealing. He's not done yet. There will be a time where you will see him face to face. Remember, we sang about that. One day I will see him face to face. One day I will see him in all of his glory. I can't wait for that day. There is still a lot left that Jesus is going to reveal about who he is. There is still a lot. Until that day, though, there will be times when your faith in him causes others to reject you because they can't accept Jesus. just like a blind beggar. Sometimes it might feel like you're an outcast of society, just like this guy was. And yet Jesus came to him when he was an outcast of society, when everybody saw him, a blind man born from birth, as a sinner from birth, and they would reject him and they would feel sorry for him, but they wouldn't accept him. Jesus comes to him and gives him sight. Now he is, a day or two later, having received sight, and the leaders kick him out again, reject him. Once again, an outcast of society. But watch. Again, Jesus doesn't leave him there. He comes to him again. Let me show you verse 35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said unto him, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" It's an interesting question. The Pharisees had rejected him. But when Jesus heard what happened, he searched the man out again. He went to where he was. He found him a second. I love that. He found him a second time to give him a second sight, spiritual sight. This is amazing. When he finds the man, he asks them this question: "Do you believe on the Son of God?" He's leading him to the door of spiritual sight. All this time, from the time he was given sight, this Jimmy has been wondering about who Jesus is. Remember, he's like, "Oh, definitely this is a really good man. He can't be a sinner because of the miracles he does. Maybe he's a prophet. I'm sure he's a prophet." Remember when he said that? He's like, "Who do you think he is?" And he's like, "A prophet for sure, without a doubt." He's coming more and more to the reality of who Jesus is. He's not just a good person. He's not just a prophet. He's not just a person sent from God. Jesus says this person is the Son of God. Do you believe on the Son of God? He brings him to the door and then he opens it up to who Jesus really is. Do you believe on the Son of God who came into this world? That's the question. Do you believe him? His response? He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" Who is he that I might believe on him? It's a good question. It's a good answer. You show me who he is and I'll believe him. His faith was there. He just needed to know who it was that he was trusting in. Who am I supposed to be looking at? I don't know who he is, but if you show me, I'm putting my trust in him. He was ready to believe. His response was already full of faith. And this is really important to us. Faith. Faith. Verse 37, Jesus' response. "Who is he, Lord? Who is he that I can believe on him?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee." You're looking at him. You're talking to him. I love that. Verse 38, and he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. This is amazing. Amazing. The one you see in front of you, the one you're talking with right now, he is the one, the Son of God. His response is to place that trust, place that faith on Jesus. This is really good. In the same way that he trusted Jesus enough to listen to his words when Jesus first came to him, and he put his trust in Jesus enough to go to the pool of Siloam and wash his eyes. That same trust is the trust that he puts in Jesus now, not to give him physical sight, but to give him spiritual sight. He could do nothing on his own to receive physical sight, but to trust in Jesus and listen to what he tells him. And in the same way, he could do nothing on his own to receive spiritual sight, to trust in Jesus, to listen to what he tells him. This is true throughout your whole life as a follower of Jesus, not just when you first put your trust in him as the Son of God, the Redeemer of your soul. Your walk with Jesus is a consistent, constant pattern of doing this right here. As Jesus reveals himself to you, as he reveals yourself to you, You trust him. And you listen to what he tells you. And you follow him. And as you follow him, as your faith goes along with what he tells you, so your sight and your second sight, your spiritual sight becomes more and more clear. Through the hard times and the easy times, God uses all of the different aspects of your life. The good times, the bad times, the easy times, the hard times, the frustrating times and the times of joy. All of these times Jesus uses to help you see more and more clearly. In each aspect of faith, in each aspect of life that you go to where your faith is stretched just a little bit more in a little bit different way, this is how Jesus says, I'm going to show you how to see me a little bit more clearly, and this is how I'm going to do it. And he stretches you and you feel the soreness of the, like, you're like leg day. Like, oh man, sometimes it does not feel good to be stretched in the way Jesus stretches you. You know what I'm talking about? He puts you in positions that are hard and difficult, but he does that so he can help you see more clearly who he is and who you are in him. It's amazing. This is the life of a follower of Jesus. Love it. Wherever you are on the path of following Jesus, this never changes. Jesus is the one who gives you sight. He's the one who gives you sight. That never changes. He's always the one who gives you sight. Your part in that sight is simple. Faith. Trust him. Trust Jesus enough to do what he says, to accept what he tells you. Trust him enough to respond to what he already has revealed in your life. This is what Jesus says in response to, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. He worshiped Jesus. And Jesus accepted his worship as the Son of God. And Jesus, verse 39 says this. And Jesus says, for judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. One of the ways he does that is by being the light of the world. Remember what Jesus said in the last chapter? I am the light of the world. His light reveals truth in our lives. Part of being the light of the world is revealing truth, which he has done, and we've seen that happen. His light reveals that we are lost and we need to be rescued. His light reveals the need for our heart to be cleansed. His light reveals that we can't see as much as we think we can. Just like that chart. All this stuff we see, and it's only thinner than a sheet of paper, how much we can see. His light reveals how that we cannot see as much as we think we can see. This is the light of truth that Jesus shines in our hearts. But he also shines the light of grace. For those who accept the light of his truth, who are willing to humble themselves enough to see their need for rescue, to see their need for cleansing, to see their need for spiritual sight, Jesus shines the light of grace in their hearts too. The light of truth and the light of grace working together to rescue, to cleanse your heart, to open your eyes. This same light of truth that Jesus shines in our hearts can also be rejected. And this is where the for judgment I am come. As the one who is the light of the world, his light reveals all things. For some, it helps them to see more clearly. And for some, it only reveals their choosing to be blind. Some can experience the light, and instead of humbling themselves, they can simply choose to say, no, I'm fine. I can see fine. I don't need anything else. I can see well enough. I'm good on my own. Their sight becomes their blindness. Verse 40. Some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, are we blind also? How dare you call us blind? When Jesus said unto them, if ye were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, we see. Therefore, your sin remains. Their sight has become their blindness. To each of us, Jesus shines the light of truth in our hearts. He shines the light of truth in your heart. The question is, how will you respond to what Jesus reveals? How will you respond to the light that Jesus is shining in your heart? You can respond with humility and faith. You can respond saying, oh, okay, I did not realize that about myself. Oh, I did not realize that about you. You can respond humbly and with faith, or you can choose to reject the light and live with what you choose to see. This is true even now as a follower of Jesus. I'm fine. Jesus, you don't have to reveal that about me. I'm good there for now. You can just let that be. And Jesus is like, no, I don't want to leave that alone. We need to address this. Sometimes he reveals the truth in times that are not convenient for us, in ways that are not enjoyable to us. But the light of truth, Jesus will always reveal to us. The question is, will you humble yourself and by faith receive what Jesus tells you? Will you let him see yourself in a new way? Will you let him see his goodness and faithfulness in a new way? I trust that you will be willing to trust Jesus enough to do that. Your part in second sight is faith. That's your part. Trust him. Trust him and obey him. And when you do that, Jesus will continue to reveal more and more about who he is in your life, more and more about how trustworthy he is in your life, that he is all you need. He is your everything. Trust him. Let's pray. Jesus, the story we saw today is a simple story of a man who could not see, but you gave him physical sight. And what happened after that, as the story continues, you didn't come to him just once. You came to him again, not to give him more physical sight, but to give him something more valuable, something more important, second sight, spiritual sight. And his life was not only changed, but his eternity was changed because of what you revealed to him. So this is true in our lives. Father, thank you for coming to us to give us spiritual sight, to reveal yourself to us, to show us who you are, and to reveal ourselves to us, to show us why we need you, to show us why it is so important for us to put our faith, our trust in you. And Holy Spirit, thank you for helping us to be able to respond in a way that gives us the trust to put in Jesus. Holy Spirit, thank you for confirming the words of Jesus in our heart. Father, I pray that you would continue to work in our lives. First, if there's anybody here or if there's anybody watching who hasn't yet put their trust in you, Jesus, I pray that you would continue to work in their eye, work in their heart, reveal yourself to them. Help them to see that their faith is what is needed for them to see you clearly. Help them to respond in faith. Lord, I know I am a sinner. I know I need help. I know you came to rescue me, and I put my trust in you to be my Savior. Help them to do that, please. And for those who have done that, those who are following Jesus now, I pray that you would continue. Don't stop. Don't stop. Keep revealing yourself to us. Keep helping us to see who you are clearly so that we can continue to put our trust in you. Help us not to resist those moments where you're showing yourself to us. Help us not to resist those times, but help us to humbly accept it. Be willing to go through the struggle so that we can see more clearly who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.